I'm beginning with the Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara had stated that in the Mishnah, if the husband makes a stipulation that she has to fulfill it, that's kind of a given. What if the husband makes a stipulation that he wants his itzpilis back, his garment back? So the Mishnah doesn't say what the din is. It just says, Masa Rabban Gamliel, Rabshim Gamliel, but she don't, that she wanted, he was his condition for the get, he wanted the itzpilis back, and she didn't have the itzpilis, it was lost, so she gave him the money, and the get was good according to Rashbab. So the Gemara says, it's very strange, the Mishnah is disjunct, it's disjoint. So the Gemara says, my Tana, the Katani Maisa, what did the Tana say that all of a sudden you tell the story, which is not exactly what the Mishnah was talking about? So the Gemara says, Fasuri Mechasra. There's actually a lacuna in the Mishnah, the Hachi Katani. This is the way the Mishnah should read. Im Amar Allah Menashe Titni Li, it's the Lisi. The Avad, it's the Liso. It's the Liso Dafka Ka Amar Allah. And the truth is, that's not how I would have formulated the Mishnah. I would have said, Eina Megureshes. But the Gemara is already filling in. Eina Megureshes because he wanted Dafka his tunic back. Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer Tika Lo Estamel. Rashbag says it's sufficient to give him money instead. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Ma'isa Nami B'tzidon Ve'echa Chama L'ishtar Reza Kite. Ona Nash Titni Li Yitzkalisi Ve'avde Yitzkalisi Ve'amru Chachaman Tika Lo Estamel. It's a machlokas Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel Chachaman. And as I think we probably mentioned the last time we did the kiss, and as is the Gemara will say a little bit later, this is one of the three cases of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah where we don't pass them like him. Arev, Tzidon, and Raya Achrona, and this is the case of Tzidon, the Maisa, and Tzidon. Okay, so now the Gemara says, the Amine Rab Asi me Rab Yochanan, Hareza Gitecha Menashe Titni Li Masayim Zuz, V'chazar Amar La Lechulan La, Mahu, gives it a get and says, you know, here's your get on the condition it will be chal if you give me 200 zuz. So, he turns around the next day and says, nah, never mind. I just won the lottery last night. Shame you're not married to me anymore. And, that was a joke. I guess it wasn't that funny. So he says, but I don't need the 200 zuz, so you can keep your 200 zuz. So what's the din? So on the one hand, he's not makbid anymore. On the other hand, the tnai that he attached to the get when it was given was not fulfilled. So what should it then be? Now, what really is the core of the question? What would you say the yesod of the question is? If I am.
Before or after having seen the continuation of the Gemara?
Well, you know, I thought of it before, but I also knew the Mishnah Nedarim, and I wasn't surprised that the Gemara quoted it. But even after reading the Gemara, without the Gemara, I would tell you, even with the Gemara later, fundamentally, what is the question? Okay, yeah, fine, fair enough. Without the continuation.
I would assume that it's... Do you need to have a modification? Can you modify the tonight subsequently without changing the Nesina?
So that I guess that's one way of reading it, but I don't think anybody assumes that's the case, right? I think Lamaska, that's not how I would have read it. I would not have read it as a generic question about changing it tonight after you gave it to me.
That's the role of Mechila?
Yeah. In other words, when I mochel something, does that conceptually or balabatishly the equivalent of receipt. Take the following question. Let's say he told her he wanted $200. And she's got a couple fifties she gives him, a $50 bill, and then she doesn't have a $450 bill to give him. So instead, she has like 320s. And the problem is that, when he gets to counting the end, she's gonna owe him, she gives him an extra 20, so she's gonna give me $210. She doesn't expect that from him. So she counts to 190, and he says, keep the rest. So how would you, what would you say about that, Shimmy?
I would say at this task is for repaying it, because,
correct.
Like...
And as it's understood, like, give me 200, you know, and sometimes for my convenience, I just don't need to break the last 20. I don't want to bother having to get $10 in change to give you, so just keep the 10. But I would say that's clearly a case where she has to fill, I would think, has to fill the denial. You'd have to be a hyper-literate and say, well, you said I want $200, and don't give me the $200. I can't pay you the $200. You walk into a store, and you walk into a store, and the bill adds up to $200.55. So the cashier probably has the discretion to say, so forget the change. So I would have thought this is partially a question of, and maybe it's not true the Maskana, what is the role of Mechila? Now, where the Gemara takes it to some extent is going to be really what is his intent, as opposed to generally what is Mechila. But the Pashtus is, well, so let's read the Gemara's answers. The first approach, the first attempt is, Tibai the Rabbanan, Tibai the Rashbab. You could ask the question according to both of them. Tibai the Rabbanan, Kamalka Rabbanan, Hassanon, Dolo Achla Gadei. Aval Hacha, Haka Amar, Mechulam Lach. So when it comes to the Rabbanan Shita by the Ishtalis, so there, the bottom line is he was never Mocha. If you ask me, I find that to be a little bit difficult, because of course he was Mocha. When was he Mocha? When she gives him the money, the Ishtalis. He's being Mocha on the Ishtalis then. Okay, but he wasn't explicitly Mocha on it. He didn't say, I'm Mocha on the Ishtalis. Okay. And Tibai the Rabbana, not calling him, Tibai the Rashbag, Odilma, Fi the Rashbag, Bokama, El, Kama, Faisal, Lady Dummy, Abba the Gamre, though. Even Rabbi Shimon Leah, who will last it by the Ishtalis, that's because he's getting his money. He's just getting it in a different form. Instead of getting a tunic, he's getting cash. Whereas, here, he's getting nothing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Amale, Ana Migureshus. She's not Migureshus. Aisve. Ha'omer l'chaver konam sha'atanena li, im atanosein li, im iatanosein levni, kor echad shalchita m'shtei chavir shalyayim. I want you to give my son a matana. And if not, you can't get any hana from me. Rabbi Meir omer asar achitin. Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to give. You're not allowed to be nene until the guy actually pays what he said. The kor of chitim and the two barrels of wine. So, when I know the Gemara, so if I'm here, I'm saying that the way the Gemara says it. You read the Mishnah in the Dharam. The Pshat in the Mishnah Dharam is what? Is his Mechila, he's allowed to say, I mean, there is a balabat nishkara. He wanted to initially extract something from somebody else. And now, for whatever reason, he feels like he has sufficient. And he says, you know, I like you so much, I feel like you actually gave this to my son. So, the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why should that work? The netzer should still be binding. Now, obviously, the Gemara could have answered what for Rabbi Yochanan, which is not an appeal, which works, but is obviously not the answer it wanted to give. They could have said, I hold like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I'll surrender to you. But the Gemara wants to, the Gemara assumes Rabbi Yochanan wants to work with the Chachamim. So, the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, they're not comparable. Hasam, that's not Hasam. Hacha, Litzka Urika Mahave, Belotira. No, you know why? Rabbi Yochanan would say, here, she's got to give something, because when he made the Tanai in the first place, it wasn't that I'm walking away from the marriage and I want to make sure I'm economically secure, so I want you to give me 200 zuz. And now I won the lottery, so I'm economically secure, I have what I need. No. You know I wanted 200 zuz from you, so I want to stick it to you. That was my goal. Going back to what you said, the Gemara is assuming that the Tanai, you can't change the terms after the get was given. You can interpret what was his intent. His intent was X. And his intent can be fulfilled in a non-literal fashion. So then, that's fine. But here, his goal was, I want you to feel pain. And bottom line is, she's not going to feel that pain anymore. So that's why, in our case, Rabbi Yochanan would say, it's no good. But Hasam Yishum Harvachahu Vano Itzra. When a fellow made the neder and said, you can't be nene for me if you don't, provide for my son. So now all of a sudden he won the lottery or something like that. My son doesn't need. So That's all I wanted in the first place. I wanted my son's needs taken care of. And now my son's needs have been taken care of. I feel they've been taken care of. And therefore, that's all. In other words, in this case, in our case, by get, it was about making her feel something. By the case of Neder, it was making that the Noder feel something. Once the Noder felt it, that was sufficient for him. But the woman hasn't felt it yet, and therefore it's not a kiyumah tonight. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Ahu gavra da amar leila risei. So a person had an arrangement with the sheriff's office. Kulei alma dalut las salvasa v'achli riva at dali arba v'achol tilsu. I don't know if it's universal today, but I know it's pretty common today when they have sharecropping arrangements in this country. I don't know how ubiquitous it is, that it's usually 50-50. That's the way it's done. They split the costs and they split the income, if I can call it that, the tvua, and the owner of the land provides the land, and the farmer provides, the sharecropper provides the labor. That's the way the division works. So the time of the Gemara, they weren't as progressive, it seems. So typically, the sharecropper would only get a quarter. Now, the deal he had here with the normal sharecroppers, the deal was the following. You know, you have a sharecropper, so you're supposed to have some type of a contractual arrangement. There's an understanding of who provides what. There's an understanding how much effort you expect to share. What do you expect the sharecropper to put into the field? So the normal arrangement apparently was that he was expected to irrigate the field 3 times a year. And obviously it was not a rain-irrigated field. This is Bavel. I don't know if Bavel, how much rain, but Rebbe does get some rain. But I guess irrigation was a big deal there. So the term is you have to water the field 3 times. And what you get in exchange as part of your entire contract is 1/4 of the produce. So this guy said to his artist, I'll tell you what. You know, if you improve a field by whatever means you improve it, the yields in that field are likely to improve. So here's the deal. I want you to do an extra watering of the field. I think it'll make the stuff grow better. And I'll give you 1/3 of the produce. Now, obviously, the Balabais' assumption here is that the field is going to produce sufficiently more that by giving up 1/12 of the produce to the sharecropper, he will actually, his 2/3 will actually increase by more than that 12. That is the bet that he is making. Okay. So the sharecropper agrees. And then what happens? The self asi mitzvah, before the sharecropper could water the 4th time, rain came. Wasn't expected. So you can imagine the following. Baal Bayis says, hey dude, you didn't water it 4 times. The sharecropper says, hey dude, said the field got watered 4 times. This was the deal. And it's true in general. If it rains, that's, you know, my luck. And I think Tosis points out, generally speaking, what would it then have been by a three times a season water sharecropper if there were rain? What would it then have been?
No change in pay?
Yeah, the women, I think it's the toast to see our mascot lab at the end. So the question is now, who gets the benefit of the rain? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Halo Zala? He didn't draw water a 4th time. Jonathan?
I can't even claim it's your triple loss for the Gemara, meaning though his statement was, you do it 3 times and I'll give you that of the field. Yeah. It seems like it's conditional on what it does, not based on the outcome.
So you're asking, did you see Tosos people on the Rabbi?
No.
So Tosos asks a question. If a person hires a worker, you go open the obedient part of Tosis. You hire workers and then rain comes, then you can say, if the Paulum will pay the specific amount for watering, you don't have to pay them for watering. So Tosis says, how is that? That's effectively your question. You're asking the question internally. Right? You're asking the question internally. So Tosis says, in essence, the following. The Aris is not like a Sacher. An Aris has a chelik in Makarba. He doesn't own the land, but basically, he is already working for the Baal Bayis. He's on an arrangement. The Baal Bayis can't cancel him. As soon as the Baal Bayis agrees to terms, at least Rava's position is, Rava who says, hello, it's Drift, look, you wanted to make sure you got extra good produce. This guy was lucky enough that God was on his side and he made it rain. So why is it that the Aris is Zocha and the Sacher is not? Because the Sacher has no rights in the field. He has no chelik in Makarba. The artist is already ensconced in the field. As soon as you say to him, this is the deal, and he says yes, it's done. In other words, it's not, and it's not a tonight. I still have to answer your question. It's not a tonight that, oh, if you do it this, what he was doing was changing the terms of the sharecropping. Right? It wasn't that he said to the artist the following. Based upon what you do this season, I will give you more or less. He said, no, let's change the deal to sharecropping. Once he did that, the artist would not be entitled to say, you know what, I'm only going to water it three times this season, and I'll just take a quarter. That wasn't an option. That would have been a violation of the terms of the agreement. Because neither party, in essence, really can back out, because both the artist and the Baal HaBayis, in a sense, have to say, like, in the character. By a Poel, Poel has no share in anything. So the Poel can back out if he wants, the Baal HaBayis can back out if he wants, and therefore, the Baal HaBayis, when he simply says, I'll pay you, for water in the field, and the rain comes, he can say, look, you were a sucker. I wasn't changing the terms of an already existing relationship of ownership that you have. I was paying you for a job, and you did do the job. The fact that it was not your fault you didn't do the job because we didn't need it, that's not my problem. But by the artist, you changed the terms of contract. The artist is a chayv in the karka. So in the mela, he is now a four water, third share sharecropper. Ryan?
It's possible that Rashi's dealing with the issue differently. He points out that the artist does a whole bunch of other avodos in the standard agreement other than just watering.
But he includes watering in that list, right? Ashka.
I mean, there's no direct relationship between the watering and the payment.
No, there is. The owner of the field was saying, you water it an extra time. You have to do all these things now. One of them is hashkah, but you water it an extra time, and we'll change the percentage distribution of the crops. I don't see why you see in Rashi,
by the way, if you want to know are you bothered by why Rashi fills in that other stuff?
I thought he was just explaining why a standard artist doesn't have this question.
No, if I could guess, I'll tell you what Rashi is doing. If all an artist had to do was to water the field three times and he would get a quarter, then how much should he get? Now, maybe this won't work out then. How much should he get if he waters it four times? One third more than that. No, it works out nicely anyway. That's really a bum deal for the, I don't know, who's it a bum deal for? For the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis was giving him a very generous deal, if you think about it. Right, why was it a generous deal? Because if all you had to do was water the field, what more is the artist doing than he normally does? So if all an artist did was water the field, then this artist would be doing one third more work, and he would be getting one third more pay, because one third is one third more than a quarter. Yoni, you're the mathematician, is that right? A third of a quarter is a twelfth. Add that to a quarter, and you get a third. So,
yeah.
But the artist has to do all these other things. And nonetheless, he's still getting an additional twelfth just for doing this one thing, which is less than a twelfth more work.
Overtime rates are better.
Well, maybe that's, I don't think they had overtime back then. So, plus 50%. Okay. So none of you guys are probably working in fields that get overtime, I suspect. So, all right. They probably going to classify you as management, I guess. I don't know. I don't know exactly how the labor laws work, but, okay. So, they don't give Rabbeim overtime either. So, if they do, it works, you have to bear some similar arrangement. Whenever my Shabbos year complains about my being away, I tell them if you give me a raise of 20%, I'll reconsider. But that's not a very big raise, 20%. So in fact, 100% isn't a very big raise either. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef said, Holodala, Rabbi Amar Lo, it's Richa, it wasn't needed. Tosus explains, Rabbi Yosef Shita is, yes, it's true, he has a chelik in the Sada, except that because you're doing it differently than all other arisim, it's treated more like a sphere. Okay. So now the Gemara says, Leino Rav Yosef the Amak Rabbana Rabbana Rabba the Amak Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So would we not say that Rav Yosef holds like the Rabbana, which means you need a literal fulfillment of the condition, and Rabba simply holds like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which is, what is your fundamental desired outcome? Which is, I want $200. The itzlis is worth $200. So give me the itzlis. No itzlis? So give me $200. Here, the owner wants a better producing field. He wants extra water. So he got it. Okay, so the artist didn't do it. So what? So the Gemara says, oh, that can't be. That's not possible. But Tizbara, Balkaim al-Nosak Kavase Baraba, as Tosas points out, it sounds from this that we passed him all over Shas, like Rabba. There are three exceptions against Rabbi Yosef. And this is as opposed to a shita. I thought it was the Rashbam shita. The Gemara Baba Basra says that the halacha is like Rabba, the Rabbi Yosef, except for Sada Inyan Mechitza. So some Rishonim wanted to say that klal hapsak of Rabba over Rabbi Yosef is only Meseches Baba Basra, not elsewhere. So Tosfos here says it sounds like Kaimelon, Hilchas like Rabba. We hold like Rabba. It sounds like a generic statement. And yet, we also know in this case, we know we don't pass like Rashbag in this Mishnah. So you can't say, since we're going to pass like Rabba, that Holowitzra, and we're going to pass like the Rabbanon, that Enamigoreshes, you can't assume that they're tied together. So the Gemara says the following, Olam ki Rabbana. We pass it like the Rabbana. Rabbi Yosef holds like the Rabbana, that fits. But Rabba Amar Lacha, Anada Amri Afila the Rabbana. I would agree, my position is consistent with that of the Rabbana. Why? Adkan La Kamri Hasem Rabbanan by the mission of Gittin Elad Tzurika Machave, where his intent is to inflict, make it hard for him. And therefore, we're not inclined to interpret his conditions liberally. And if he said Hitzfulis, it's got to be Hitzfulis. However, the whole point of this is the only reason why does he go to the artist in the first place and say, I want you to do this arrangement, because he wants to be able to produce more this year. Right? The man has looked over his assets, he surveyed all his properties and say, we need to get more out of this one. We need to produce more. So he goes to the artist and says, okay, we got to get better this year. The artist says, okay, I'll make sure you get better. But he does. Okay, so the artist didn't water the fourth time. So what? Okay, fine. So that's the end of this discussion. But Ephraim, I would say that it is, unlike Shimi's suggestion, which was my first read, which is how I want to read the Mishnah and Dharma also, by the way. I don't remember if the Gemara, how the Gemara reads it there. I didn't look. But the Gemara's Maskana here is really contractual interpretation. It's a question of what he intended when he said, in each of these cases, or when it comes to the rain, that you water four times and keep a third. Okay, so now the Gemara turns its attention to another question, which is going to be, what happens if a man stipulates with a woman that you have to give me 200 zuz, and then he doesn't want it, so he refuses to take it from her, and she stuffs it in his pocket, she throws it in his house, okay? Is she megureshes? So the Gemara says the following. Tanan Hassan. We taught in the Mishnah, it should be in Arachan, I think. A little bit of background, which you probably all know, but I'll do it anyway, since we haven't read Parshas Bahar in a very long time, which is that, generally speaking, one of the most central principles of the Torah's philosophy of an economically just society, is the principle of Yovel, which is that when you have land, when you receive your chelik in Eretz Yisrael, you can generally not be permanently divested of it when you're forced to sell it, because you're poor. No matter what bad decisions you make, at the end of 50 years, that land returns to you or to your descendants. So you cannot have permanent impoverishment. There's only one way, this is a little bit of a tangent, but there's only one way you can lose your field permanently. Anybody know what that is? For that, you have to go to Parshas Bechukosai. Shimmy?
Hekdesh?
Yes, if you're makdish it, and you don't redeem it before the Yovel at all, nobody redeems it, or somebody else redeems it before you, with the exception of your son. If it's an ish acher, and Bain is not in that, So then, what happens in the Yovel shimmy?
It stays with Hekdesh forever.
It goes to the Kohanim. Becomes the Kohanim. Not that Hekdesh, it's one of the 24 mountainous Kohanim. Now, this is not really an economic justice concern, because only an idiot is machdish his field if he can't and doesn't have the money to pay for it. Nobody is machdish their field out of poverty. People do sell their field when they're struggling. So the Torah says when it comes to Yovel, everything goes back. That's your field, which is your primary, that's the primary production, that's how you produce your stock. There's one exception to the shul, not in a field, not even in a regular house, but in batei arechom. I have no clue as to why the Torah makes this distinction. But as opposed to a field, where when you sell it to someone else, and it automatically comes back in the yovel if you don't redeem it, and you have to let the person have it for at least 2 years, or at least 2 years, or two crops, at least 2 full years, and two crops, and it might even get 3 crops. After that, you're allowed to redeem it from him. The mispar shnei tsuosim kala, as opposed to a bayis batei achaserim, a house not in a walled city from the time of Shubanun, where if you sell it and you don't redeem it, it goes back in the yovel, but you may redeem it immediately without waiting. There's something called a bayis yerhoma, a house in a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, where if you sell it, you have, I don't know if everybody agrees, this is Rebbe's opinion, 365 days, a shana tamima, to redeem that bias. If you fail to do so in that time, so if it's a field in Tina, it goes back. If it's an office building in Manhattan, well, Manhattan wasn't well from the time of Shuba, I don't know where Manhattan was well from, but if it was, so then it would go back. I don't know why the Torah makes that exception, but that's the only exception. So, as you might imagine, as good capitalists, yes, Ephraim, you have a question.
Is the economic question now a matter of just wealth, or specifically fields, which are sort of the means for sort of income?
So, let me flip your question a little bit. I would say that the Torah's goal was to prevent extreme concentrations of poverty and extreme concentrations of wealth, because they usually go together. But it doesn't appear that the primary objection there is the wealth side. It's the impoverishment side. And so I think you're correct. I would say the field is a crucial piece because it produces income in a way that a house probably, not that you couldn't rent a house, but probably much less so. But I don't understand the distinction between batei rechom and batei chaserim. I suspect one would have to understand what the function of the difference of those batim were in the time the Torah was given to understand sort of what the message is there. But I would, as you imagine, given my conference today, given what I spoke about half the weekend, thinking about this particular question a lot, I have said, and I do write, that we don't valorize poverty, and that I think is true, the corollary to that, which some have written, is I'm not so enthusiastic that wealth isn't the bad thing. I'm inclined to think that, but I'm starting to rethink that issue because I see what wealth actually can do to people. I want to share this with you. I'm sorry for the tangent, but it's unbelievable, Musser. I wrote in the paper, and I mentioned it to Charles Shudis yesterday. There's an unbelievable Chasam Sofer on, it's on a medrash about Aser to Aser. And the Chasam Sofer says, he quotes a medrash from Koheles Rabbah, which is, Ein adam meis v'chati tavaso biyado. Any person when they die, they never have fulfilled even half of their desires, the things that they wanted. They never even got there, because yesh lo mana, rotzeh b'masai. He has 100, he always wants 200. The Chasam Sofer quotes two midrashim on Aser to Aser. The first one is more famous. Aser b'shvil tishetis asher. Give maisers so you become wealthy. Because if you don't, ish asher yitein lakohen lo yiyah. If you don't give your maisers, then that which you don't give the coin is all you'll be left with. Your field will only produce a ten. Then there's another medrash, which is aser b'shvil shalotis chaser, so that you're not missing. So he wants to, what is the two difference? The Chasam Sofer quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Birkas Hashem Hisashir, Velo Yosif Etzev Ima. That a real bracha from the Ribono Shel Olam, a real bracha of Aser B'Shvil Shehisashir, is not a bracha unless you're not Nishaser. If you make more money, all of a sudden you make a lot of money, but then all that comes with it is you want even more money, that's not a bracha. And I would even add, based literally upon Yeshla Manarotsa of a Masayan. What happens if you get Masayan? You're further away from your desired goal than you were when you only had 100. So, but this is really a true statement about human psychology. That we think if we have nothing, then when we get money, then we'll be happy. And we won't want any more. The answer is that's not the way people normally work. Money, I reached the conclusion more and more that money is the kind of thing that too little of and too much of are both very, very bad. I'm not going to decide which is worse. But having lots of money for many, many people is not a bracha at all. Having enough money, that's a bracha. Chazal said, Ezo Asher Asameh
Pachoka. Okay, so anyway.
So you can just imagine my wonderful young capitalists here. You bought a bias to your home up because you had a little money lying around. Some guy needed it. So what do you do? The last week of coming before the 365 days are up. I think I'm going to take a little of that money, you know, that I know I'm going to be making, and I'm going to go on vacation to Tahiti. Oh, well, there's a little problem. He wants to buy the house back. I'm sorry, I'm not around. What are you going to do? So the Gemara says, he would hide at the end of the 12 months so that he would be able to keep it. Hiskin hello hazake, Hillo said that basically what you were allowed to do is give the money to base and put it in Lishkas HaGazis. Say, here's my repayment advice. You go to the house, you get the locksmith, they break it, and the police will bust in, and you can take your house back. Now, the Emasai Shayir said, hello, Yavo Yitzis Mosav. And when the guy wants his money, he'll go to the base and get his money. Not a problem. Now, Va'ama Rava, so let me ask you a question. You read the Gemara, but why did the guy run away? Why didn't he just stand there like this, Jimmy?
Because the assumption is that if he were there and the money was given to him, even against his will, it would still work.
Well, okay.
Or maybe he has social stigma.
Did you read Tosos?
I did not read Tosos.
Excellent. You gave both of the answers. I think that those are really both the answers, no? No, it's really only one. The other one is the one we started with. In other words, if you're going to assume that Matana Bal Kocho is a Matana, so then the reason he ran away is because he didn't want the other guy to stuff the money in his pocket. But if you say that a Matana Bal Kocho is not a Matana, why did he have to run away? The answer is, you said social stigma, Tosa says, because right? In other words, there's too much of a chutzpah. You know, I could tell, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were coming. I thought you'd given up on it, and I went on vacation. But it's another thing if you walk in here, and you want to give money, you say, sorry, I'm not taking it. So anyway, so the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Itakanasa Shilhelo Nishvareza Gitecha Manasha Kitni Nimasai and Zuz, Vinasta Lo, Midato Migureshas, Alkocha Inim Migureshas. From the fact that Hill has Midichtrif Lehil Hillalos Musakune, Messina Balkoche, the Havian Messina, Maslow, the Ba'ama Messina Balkoche, the Havian Messina. Now, here's an important point. This reckons back to something in the first Torah, in Shmi Kishi Dami. What's the din if I want to give you a gift and you don't want to take it? I stuff it in your pocket, Yoni. You Kona? Of course not. Okay, next step. Yoni, you loaned me $100 the other day. I owe you $100. I take it and I stuff it in your pocket against your will. Have I paid back the loan? The answer is Tosa says yes. This is kind of this in-between zone. But it's not a matana exactly. On the other hand, it's not a loan. There's no obligation to buy the house back from me. So that's why this kind of falls in the gray zone. The matana is clear. Matana bal karcho is not... We're talking about nesina bal karcho, not matana bal karcho. Matana bal karcho is not a matana. That's a given. In fact, you know how you know, where we learned that? By Zochen. One of the columns I told you, standard by Zochen, is if you're Zochen something for somebody else, what does that person have the right to do when they hear about it? First thing they have the right to do, and they have to do it right then, is they have the right of refusal. Even though it's objectively as close, you always have the right of refusal. Doesn't matter what you're dealing with. Zochen never works bal karcho shel person. Because a matana doesn't work bal karcho shel person. By halva, by the way, it's different, although there's a technical consideration. If I give you, Yoni, the money to pay back the loan that I owe Jonathan, the reason why it doesn't necessarily work, it's an interesting question, but for starters, there are probably multiple reasons. But for starters, it's one thing if I, well, I don't know if that's true. That may not be considered, well, that may not be considered as chus for you to have the money for him necessarily, since I have to give it to him. The Gemara says that if I want to pay back the loan and I find you in the midbar, in the forest, we're out on a hike in Harriman State Park, and then I remember, oh, I owe you money, Jonathan. I can't give it to you then. Money probably would matter, but if it were an object. Let's say I remember I have your book. Okay, Jonathan, you loaned me your Gemara. I'm walking in Harriman. I said, why is my backpack so heavy? Oh, I have Jonathan's Gemara. So I'm going to give it to you. I'm not entitled to pick up. But if we're in the Beis Medrash, where I borrowed the money with the Gemara from you, and you say, well, you know, I still want to deal with it now, I'm entitled to say no, you have to take the Gemara back. So that may be why. I'm not sure why. Why, if I give Yoni, why don't we say Zachem for Jonathan the loan? So perhaps because it's not an objective source. You're having money that I have to give him no matter what. If I can't give it to him here, I've got to give him then, and it's not his in his interest that the money be in your hands right now. Okay.
So anyway, so that's the first presentation of the Gemara. Masked liver, Papa, Vifem, Rishim, Rashi.
He asked the question against Rabba, how can you say that? Vidoma, Di Itzrach, Lele, Pakune, Shalom, Bafana. Abba, Bafana, Bein, Yidato, Bein, Pal, Karcho, Havinasina. No, maybe the reason why. The reason why you have to tell off to make a Bafana was because the other guy wasn't there. But maybe if he was there, Matana Bal Karcho would have been a Matana and wouldn't be an issue. And therefore, by our case in the Mishnah, once the man gave the get beard sono and attached the stipulation that she gave him 200 sonos, it doesn't matter whether he does it, whether he accepts it willingly later, he doesn't have a choice in the matter. He said there has to be in the scene of Masayim Zestami, and if the scene of Bal Karcho to satisfy some type of an obligation is valid, then she can give it to Bal Karcho. So, but in this case, this guy with the Batei Erechoma has decided to run away to make it impossible for the original owner to give the money. That's why you have to, he'll have to make a Takana. The Ika da Amri, there's a different version. Amar Rava mi Takanasa Shalom Ari Zegitia Chamnasha Titni Masayansus, Benasta Lovei Midata Ovein Bal Karcho Havi Nesina. Tachi Itzruch Lei Nehila Lutakuni Shalom Bafana Alva Bafana Bei Midata Ovein Bal Karcho Havi Nesina. Maskev or a papa, of course, the opposite question. We came Rashi Marashi, we do mafi the bufanam nami midato, not karchalo, the hillamai the itzrifle tati. Out of curiosity, which of these two lashonas do you find more persuasive, at least as the initial argument? If you had to argue, clearly, both Lashonos reach the conclusion that there's no definitive way of knowing what to learn from Hillel's story. But which do you think is the more plausible Lashon? I'm asking you this not as an academic exercise, but a sensitivity to the flow or the logic of the Gemara. I didn't hear what you said. Time? Which one is that? Which Lashon?
The second
one. Okay, I'm going to disagree with that. You can tell me why yours, I'll tell you why I think mine. I'm struck by Rava's, the diuk Rava made. Rava's diuk in the first Lashon is a plausible diuk. And as you can be medayik from the fact that Hillel had to make a takana, the nesina bal karcho is not nesina. It's easy to see how Rava made that conclusion. Hillel made a takana to address a problem. And Rava says, obviously, because he wouldn't, it was not accepting against his will. In the second Lashon, how would you infer from Hillel's Takana that it works both Bein Midato, Bein Ba'al Karcho, Havi Nesina? And the only reason why Hillel can make Takana was Shalom Bafana.
You don't have some instances as far as lawyers, then it makes more sense.
No, ultimately that, you can now explain why the guy ran away but it's not intuitive, right? Nobody has to explain the first diuk. The first diuk was obvious. Hillel made a takana, obviously because he couldn't give it to him against his will. It didn't occur to the Gemara, or maybe it was only because he wasn't there that you couldn't give it to him against his will because you couldn't give it to him. But if you were, then maybe you could. But the inference that mitakanasa shavol, we can infer that it works bein midato, bein bal karcho, it's in Asina. How could you possibly, Hillel had to make a takana for a situation where the guy wouldn't accept it? Now, you want to say, oh, the only reason he had to make the takana was because he wasn't there. It's not that it's impossible. That's not, I think, what you intuitively walk with takana for. Hillel made the takana, in effect, that I am, Hilas Takana was that I am paying back them. So, in other words, I agree, ultimately, both Lashonos, it's not compelling one way or the other. But it seems to me that the second version of Rava's deal doesn't seem like the deal that we would have made. What Rava would have said, if I were Rava in the second Lashon, I would have just said, you can't conclude anything from Hillel's Takana about Mishina Bar Karcho, because it's possible he made the Takana only because he wasn't there. I wouldn't have said that you could make an inference that Dafka because he wasn't there. That's my point. So, reading the two Lashonos, the first one, the Maskana is the same no matter what, because it's not Mochach one way or the other. But in terms of the two Lashonos, it seems to me that the first one is the more intuitive way of reading it. Okay. Fine. Amar Rabba Bar Hana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Komakom, Shoshana Rav Shimon Lim, Shlaseinu Alach Gomoso, Chutzmei Ari B'tziyah Devarai Achron. Okay? Fine. So now the Gemara, any questions so far? All right. Now the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, Harmesia Gitech Fani or Sheli, Eina Megureshes. If you give the woman a get, and you say, I'm giving you the get, but the paper belongs to me, meaning I'm not giving you the paper, so she's not Megureshes, because in order to give the get, you have to give the get. Right. You can't just give, it's not osios parchos, you know, and it doesn't work that way. So the Braisa then continues, Almanash Shatafsi Vilias Anir Megureshes. So right now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara doesn't realize that Almanash is going to be retroactive, in other words, it's Me'asha. Rather, it understands it that I'm giving you the get on the condition that the Niyar be mine. And the Gemara assumes that the Niyar is his from the get-go, not after she returns it, which means he's never giving her the piece of paper. Now, we would never have read this way because, A, number one, we know like Rebbe, and we assume like Rebbe, Almanash is Kimeyasha. Number two, we're used to parsing the language, Almanash is Tassu, that means I'm giving this thing now on the condition that at some point you return it to me. And we all understand by Lulav, Tosis talks about Amadeus. We all understand by Lulav. When you give a Lulav Matanam Nas Lahasir, right, we understand, I'm giving you the Lulav now, but it only is yours now for the interim on the condition that you eventually give it back to me. So we would have assumed that on our own, but the Gemara is not assuming that. And that's why it bothered. It thinks there's a stira between the Reish and the Seifa. It says, Maishna, Reish, Maishna, Seifa. So Amar Achista, Hamani, this is basically a quick introduction to Mishpatei Atanai. But this says Hamani Rashbagi, the Amar Kifan Lois Samea. So this is a totally different approach. The Gemara eventually rejects this. But he says it's from Shimon Leo, who says that if you say Amanasha Taksu Vidya Sanir, you know what she can do? She can give him $5, which is the cost of the parchment. Therefore, he's giving her the get because if the get's valid, because she doesn't really have to give him back this piece of paper. She can give him anything worth this piece of paper according to Rashbagi. So how many Rashbad is the man? How can I be the face on the Bidam? So Maskif Ba Baye. Aimur to Amar Rashbag, he has the least of Aina. How can the least of Aina be Amar?
But the Shulam Leo did not say that she has the right to buy the Itzlus from him. He said, he gave her the get off tonight that she can return the Itzlus, and now she can't. It's gone. Poof, it's gone up in smoke. So Rashbag says, okay, so he wants to give her a divorce. This was the condition. He knows she can't fulfill this condition. Nobody can fulfill this condition. So give me money instead. But here, he says, I'm an Asha Tassu Zanir. He has the piece of paper. The piece of paper is there. He told her, I want that piece of paper. She's going to say, well, you know, maybe I'll buy you off. That doesn't work.
You don't know that Rashbag would ever say that when the Itzelis is dead. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye now is going to go down a series until we get to the final Maskana. Abaye is going to be one of a few examples of people are going to say, you know why the get is valid in the second case? Amanash Tafsu Zanir, because there's something invalid about the formulation of the Tanai. And when the formulation of the Tanai is invalid, what's the halacha? Shimmy?
Tanai Batal Masakayim.
Tanai Batal Masakayim. Now, the first part of the Mbraisa is not a Tanai. He's just saying, I'm giving you a get, but I'm retaining rights to the piece of paper. I'm not giving you the piece of paper on condition X. This is a get, but I own the paper throughout. I'm not giving you the piece of paper. I'm giving you the ink that happens to be resting on the paper. So that's not a Tanai. That's just not a machine of forget. Whereas here, it's a Tanai. Amanasha Tafsin Sandir. The only problem is, according to the Abaye's approach, it's Rabbi Meir. The Omar Beinat Tanaikafa, the Hachalot Kafle Tanai, didn't say, I'm giving you this get, I'm going to ask you to return in the year, and if you don't return in the year, it's not a get. So therefore, it's Tanai Batel, and therefore, it's just Maisa Kayim, it's a get. So then Rava says, and this is quibbling over the details, but Maskifa Rava, Kayimid al Kafle Tanai, a Kafle Tanai, the Havagita, you're saying that it's just Kfeilus Tanai, there's a bigger problem. You're implying that if he'd been Kofel Tanai, we'd be fine. Michtei Kol Tanai Nehecha Gamilanu, Nisai Bnei Gara Bnei Ruben. So Mahasam Tanai Kodon the Maisa. A Kol Tanai Kodon the Maisa. Who can help the Maisa Kodon the Tanai? How is Maisa Kodon the Tanai here? I think this is a Machlokas Harishonim, but here the Pashtus and the Gemara, I think it's a Machlokas Ramam and Raisin. What does it mean to have Tanai Kodon the Maisa? Does that mean that when I wanted to make Kaddish Ishal Tanai, it just means whatever I'm going to say, I have to say it before I give her the ring? Or does it mean more than that? That not only do I have to say what I'm going to say before I do the Maisa, but when I formulate what I say, it has to be Tanai Kodon the Maisa. So if I say, I cannot say to a woman, Harat Mekudesh Nesli and Pitni Masayim Zos. No good. She'll be Mekudesh. I have to say, Im Pitni Di Masayim Zos, Harat Mekudesh Nesli. The Tanai has to be called on the Maisa Medieval. Here, I guess you can't really tell in the Gemara. When I read the Gemara, it sounds like he hasn't given out the piece of paper yet. But maybe he has. Maybe he hands him the piece of paper. He's got to say something. He's got to say, Hagite. So he says, Harez Hagite, Amanas. So he gave it a piece of get before. But that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like it's the formulation
that Rava is objecting to. So Rava says, no, but that's exactly the thing. Ella, I'm a Rava, Mishum, the Maisa Kod Matai.
That's exactly the problem. You know why? The problem is, you said Hare Zegiteh first. That was called Maisa Kod Matai, and that's no good.
The Mask of Harada Rava, time of the Maisa Kod Matai. You, Rava, are assuming that if you just flipped it around, would be good. But Hatanai Kod Maisa, Lohavi Gita, I'm trying to make it Hatsunai Kodom Lamaisa. One second.
Right, I'm sorry. Had the Tanai been Kodom Lamaisa, it would have been binding, and it would not have been a get. But it can't be, says Rav Adarava. Mishtei, Kol Tanai Mehech Gamrinalu, Ni Tanai B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruben. Ma Hasam Tanai B'davar Echad, Umase B'davar Acher, Akol Lafuke, Akol, Lafuke Hecha, B'Tanai Umase B'davar Echad. Now, it's not clear what exactly this means. Tosus explains that it doesn't mean refer to the physical object. Tosus says what it means is that there cannot be a contradiction between the Tanai and the Maisa. The Tanai here, the Maisa is it's a get. The Tanai says it's not a get, because if she doesn't have paper, it's not a get. So you can't have, even if you had properly formulated, even if you had said, Im titni li masayim zuz harei zegiteh ve'im lo titni li masayim zuz ein zegiteh. So you have a Tanai Kafel, you have Tanai Kodom Lamaisa. It still wouldn't be good, because there's a stira between saying you're divorced, but the paper, you got to give me the paper, you have to let me keep the paper. So rather, other essentially, shouldn't the Tanai, Master Darachot, that's the problem. Now, Rashi, when he just explains what is Tanai B'Davarachot, Maisa B'Davarachot, he says, the Tanai B'nei Gara B'nei Ruben, if they had to enter Eretz Kanan proper, the Maisa was by the land of Abraham Yarkin. Oh, okay. But Tosus says, if you look at the top Tosus, he says, Perisha Tanai Soser HaMaisa. Okay. So now, comes along Ravashi. Ravashi says, no, you've gone down the whole wrong approach. Right? What have you said until now? If you think about Ravashi's approach, did you guys see Ravashi? Oh, okay, fine. So then I can't ask the question. Methodologically, Ravashi's approach is very different than the first three attempts. They're all talking about Tanai. But what the other Amoraim are doing is, they're invalidating the Tanai, thereby making the get valid because the Shimi said Tanai Batel Maisakai. Ravashi says, no, Adarava. The Tanai is absolutely valid, but because it's an Almanas, it doesn't even tussle the get. Ravashi says, Hamani Rebbe, he da Amar Avun Amar Rav, so la Omar Almanas, Omar Mashal Tami, should be Amar Avun Amar Rav, should be Rebbe. Where is Rebbe? Amar Rebbe. It can't be Rav Huna quoting Rebbe. Rav Huna never saw Rebbe. So maybe it should be Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Amar Rebbe. Kol Omer Amanasko Me'ashav Dami. But Ravashi is trying to put the script on his head. We went from wondering, why is this Tanai, why does it not invalidate the get if you can't, the husband can't hold on to the paper? So one group of Amorim said, because it's an invalid Tanai, and therefore Maisa Kayim. Ravashi is saying, no, it's a valid Tanai. But he's not holding on to the piece of paper. He's giving her the piece of paper, Amanas, that later she gives back to him. Once she gives it back to him, it will be determined definitively that she owned the piece of paper when he gave it to her, and therefore it's a valid gift. So it's really, it feels like sleight of hand. He's working on the Tanai. He's validating the Tanai. Remember, all the Amorim, what I'm trying to stress is all the Amorim were trying to invalidate the Tanai to make the Masakaya. So Rav Ashi comes along and he validates the Tanai. So shouldn't that undermine the get? No, because he validates the Tanai in a way that it doesn't undermine the get. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Askin Shmuel, Begita de Shtemera, Imlo, Mesi, Lo Yeheget, De Mesi, Yeheget. So, this is a very strange formulation. He said, if I don't die, this will not be a get. If I die, it will be a get. So the Gemara first says, Velema, Imesi, Yeheget, and Lo Mesi, Lo Yeheget. That would be the normal thing. And it would be, Hain Kodem Lalat. So the Gemara says, no. You don't want to talk that way. You know, the way we would do it is we would say the following. God willing, I'm going to live. But in case I die, here it is. That's the way we would probably say it. And he says, if I say, if I live, I don't die, this is your get. It would have been nicer if you said, if I live, this is your get. You know, and when we write a ksuba, there are different neschos. They don't really matter, but when you get near Tashem, Nisim did this already, so he's not going to do that again. But maybe Nisim remembers in his ksuba that it says the chayai. Now, when I write the ksuba, I think most people write that it is ubasar chayai. Some write it b'chayai u'pamosi. They're the same thing, but it sounds nicer when you say basar chayai. What's after my life? We know it's death. Very nice, but nonetheless.
So Shmuel here says, Imlo Mesi,
it's not a get. If Mesi, it's a get. And this is a Gita Deshkimera, because he doesn't want his wife to be subject to Yibomar Chalitza. So the Gemara asks, La Rava, Mechte, Kol Tanai, Meheche, Gamrina, Mechnai, Gara, Bnei, Rubein, Mahasam, Hein, Kodam, Alav, Afkol, Lafuke, Hach, Lav, Kodam, Lahein. It shouldn't work. And La Amar Rava, no. This is what you do. Imlo Mesi, Lo Yehegat. Imesi, Yehegat. Imlo Mesi, Lo Yehegat. So, he repeats the first clause afterward. Im lo meisi lo ye get, you say the first time around, lo makim nishkornos lo nashim. Im meisi he get, im lo meisi lo ye get, be ina heim, kodem lo lav. Okay, that was what Shmuel made his tachana, that you would, I'm not sure what his tachana was here, other than to speak a nice language of lo makim nishkornos lo nashim. Alright, any questions? So since I know that some of you didn't get further than this, we'll stop here. Tomorrow will be regular shiur. I think we finished the Or Sameach, right? So I think it's time to me send you a few more makoros. We're going to do the Yerushalmi tomorrow. And there are a couple of toasts and other sigurs that I want you to look at, to talk about under what circumstances we're coping. I mean, I should get it to you, but it's a little busy today. So start with, once you do the Yerushalmi, it's the last Mishnah in, I think, the seventh parak of Gittin, the Elu Kofim Lahotzi. You don't have to do, you should start on Amud Aleph. I'll try to winnow it for you, but you can see there's initial stuff, a discussion of each of the movement you don't need to do. And once you get to Amud Beis, there's a certain point, Kantavis, which goes in certain, kind of agadic-like, and you don't need to do that either. So that's what I do. The Ushami, and selected pieces of that, so you get in the bottom. Okay.